Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Chav Gimel. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the middle of a discussion of the previous daf. That is, Reb Zera had asked a question that we're going to have on this daf, a few different similar type of themed questions regarding the halach of our previous Mishnah. We described that they're inversely related, that of the Tayrim and Bnei Yoina. Tayrim, the turtle doves, are only valid as karbonis when they're older, Bnei Yoina only valid when they're younger. However, there's a middle stage, what's called Tchilas Hatzi, when the feathers of the bird starts turning yellow, that's actually invalid by both. Turtle doves, that's considered too young, and by Bnei Yoina, that's considered too old, but it's not yet Gedayla, it's not yet Ketana. On that, Rabbi Yoina had asked, let's say someone had vowed, I'm going to bring a carbon Eila from a bird, and I'm going to choose either Tayrim or Bnei Yoina, and then he goes and he brings both of them, but he brings both of them in the stage of Tchilas Hatzi. And his question is, has the person fulfilled this vow or not? What's the question? Do we say that the reason when you bring a Tayr or Ben Yoina that you're not fulfilling your obligation is because it's a doubtful situation? We don't know. It's like a twilight situation. Is that considered Gedayla? So it's not valid Ben Yoina. Is it considered Gitana? So it's not valid by Tayrim. So out of doubt, you have not fulfilled your obligation. But when you're bringing both, what's called Maman of Shach? Either way, you're bringing, and all you need is one and you're bringing both. If it's Gadol, you're Yetzer with Tayr. If it's Katni, you're Yetzer with Ben Yoina. That's his question. Or do you say that no, it's actually neither. It's not cotton, not Benyoin. It's a middle special barrier. It's its own creature. And therefore actually wouldn't fulfill even if you bring both of them. That was his question. So Rava wanted to resolve that question from a braisa we quoted on the previous daf. The braisa had said, it says, min ha-tayrim, it says, min b'nei yayna, which teaches us, says the braisa, that the tchila satsiv excludes that middle stage, both from tayrim and b'nei yayna. So that said Rava, if you're saying it's its own creation, its own creature, its own stage, so that's what the Torah is coming to tell you, but both it's possible. But if it's a situation of doubt, you don't need a pasuk to tell you that. You're the only one that has the doubt. The Torah doesn't, Hashem doesn't have that doubt. The Torah wouldn't have to tell you not Yetzer. You know you can't be Yetzer because you don't know. If the Torah is coming to exclude it, obviously is its own stage. And therefore, yes, if one would bring, when he said he's going to bring one, either a Ben Yoina or a Tar, and he brings both of them in that middle stage, he's not fulfilled with either one, because neither one is actually, it's not that we're not sure, it's actually neither, it's not a katan or a gadol. However, as we continue to talk about Chav Gimel and Aleph, which is where we begin this daf, says the Gemara, no, it's not a raya, like Rava wants to prove to answer the question of Zera. Because actually, ki yitzach kra, when do we need the pasuk, which is excluding when we say the word min? It's lemut, it's coming to exclude two other things. Nirva v'neved, the bird that was sodomized, or that was worshipped as a avodah zara. Now, as Rashi points out, although the Tanya of the Braisa clearly said, when it says, min ha-tayrim, min b'nei yoina, it's coming to exclude tchilas hatziuv, when it starts turning yellow by both the turtle doves and the young pigeons, that says Rashi, the way the Gemara is answering right now, it's just a smach to be'am, it's just an allusion to this halacha. But truthfully, you could say that the invalidation is not because of a gzeris akasa that tayrim is coming to exclude it. Rather, it's because we don't know. So that's why. And it's not necessarily conclusive, like Rabba wants to say, that no, because it's a berib of ne'atzma. Rather, so what are the exclusions coming to exclude? What is the Torah being memayit? It's being memayit two other halachas of it's not valid as a carbon if it's sodomized or if it's worshipped by avodah zara. And why it specifically picks nirva, sodomized, and not a reveya, that it sodomizes something else, is because you can't say that by a bird, because it doesn't have that type of member as an animal. There's no oif that's a reveya. No. Why do we need the term min from by Tayrim and Bnei Yoina to exclude both Nirva and Neved? Because says the Gemara, you would have thought to say, Hayluksiv, since the Pasuk says by the halachas of Karbanas, a Pasuk in Beyikr, it says, Kimashchasim behem, because their abomination is in them, Mumbam, there's a blemish in them. So the Pasuk says, then lo yirotz lechem, that's not animals that can be used as Karbanas. Which that tells us, both regarding hashchasa, abomination, and regarding blemish, those are things that are invalidated by karbanas. Now, Batan de Be'er Bishmol was told in the Braisa of Yeshiva Be'er Bishmol that kamokim shenema hashchasa, wherever it says abomination, destruction, ein elo devar erva, that's either referring to an element of immorality, which is this idea about reveya v'nirva, if it's sodomized or was sodomized, and vavetz kechavim regarding idol worship, like this other halacha was saying, of nevet, if it was worshipped, where if let's say someone bowed down to his animal. Where do we find this? Because devar erva, this said we find regarding sexual immorality, like the pasuk says, by the der hamabel, in Sefer Bereishis, by the generation of the flood, says, ki hishchis kol baser es darka la'art, because all the ways of the flesh had abominated, had destroyed their path on the earth, which, and then we know the generation of the flood, their where they went wrong was with Arias, as the pasuk says in Bereishis Vav, that they took women for themselves, they took their friends' wives, they even had relations with animals and wild animals. So you see, Hashchasa refers to Arias. Moreover, Avodas Kochavim, where do you find that refers to idolatry? Like it says in Devarim, Pentashchisen, maybe you might be destructive. Vasisim l'chem pas, like make for yourself a graven image, which is idolatry. So you see that Kimashchasim behem refers to that if it has an element of Arias, which is this halach of Nirva, or of a desire, which is Nevad, that's Mashchasim. And then additionally, if it has a mum, that those are two things that are pasul for karbanos. But therefore, you would say, from the comparison of the pasuk, kol shamum pais l'boy, whatever has a halacha that a blemish invalidates it from a carbon, then dvar erev avodas kochavim pais l'boy. Then the other element of the pasuk, that of arayis of nirva and the avodas zara of nevad, that would invalidate it as a carbon. But v'chol she'enamum pais l'boy, whatever a blemish does not invalidate it, ain't dvar erev avodas kochavim pais l'boy. Then you would say the other element of the pasuk, which of haschasa of a morality and of avodas zara, would not invalidate it. And therefore, I would have said v'hani oifes these bird karbanas ha'il v'lei pasul b'humumah, sins a blemish actually does not invalidate it, because the Amar Malik, the master, says tamus v'zachas b'behema. There's a requirement of being, let's say, what gender, which is let's say masculine. Or and this idea about being unblemished, which is called tamim, it only says by animal karbanas tamim zachar, but by bird karbanas it doesn't say that it has to be unblemished, and neither does it say what gender. Therefore, vein tamis v'zachas ba'ifres. There is no such halacha that has to be unblemished or what gender it is when you bring a bird karban. And that is what we say when there's no problem about blemishes. We mean small blemishes. For example, like if it has a cataract in the eye, the only thing that is problematic by bird karbanos is very large blemishes, like missing a limb. That's for a different reason. Hakirveyu no lafachasecha, would you bring such a thing for your governor? Of course you can't bring such a thing for Hashem. But a regular halacha, a small blemish, is not a problem by bird karbanos. So I would say the other half of the pasuk of regarding hashchasa of Erva of Nirva and of a Dezara of Nevid would also not invalidate it. Kamash Malam, that's why you needed this word min by min b'nei yayna and min hatayrim to exclude both Nirva and Nevid of a Dezara and Gilei Rais. And therefore, it says the Gemara, it's not a raya to what Rabbah wants to say to answer Abzera's question. This miyud is not excluding this halacha of this middle stage of Tchil Satziv, because maybe that's really not what the pasuk is excluding. It's just our doubt, and the Torah doesn't have to exclude it. And rather, what it's excluding is Nirva Nevid, and therefore, the Gemara has not answered Abzera's question regarding this middle stage of Tchil Satziv. Is it doubtful, or is it's actually its own barrier before the atom, it's its own stage, which would have a ramification in the case that Reb Zera described, where he says, Hare Ela Oyla, I'm going to bring one bird carbon from either Tarim and Yain, and he brings both of them in that middle stage. If it's a Suffolk, he would be Yaitse. If it's a barrier before the atom, he would not be Yaitse. Now, continuing on that same theme, similar type of a question, by Reb Zera. Reb Zera again asked another type of question. Ha'ima Hare Ela Oyla's Behema. Previous one was with a oila sa'if, a bird oila. Now he's talking about if someone says, I'm taking upon myself to bring a carbon oila, that's an animal. And he says he's giving himself a choice. Min ha'ayil oy min ha'keves. From the ram or from the lamb, whichever one I want. Vehevi palgis. And he brings a palgis. Now what this is talking about is we find the Torah that it calls a keves ben shenasai. A keves is, in its first year, it's called a lamb. Now then the Torah also talks about something called an ayil, a ram. That's the same thing of a lamb when it's already past 13 months, where it's already a full month into its second year, then it's called a ram, an isle, and it's like that, it has that title for the rest of its life. A palgis is this keves isle, this lamb ram, when it's in its first month of its second year, when it's in the 13th month. Ma, what's the halacha? Here it's also the same type of idea where it's not a lamb anymore, but it's not yet a ram. So if he said, I'm going to bring either or, aisle or a kebis, and he brings his palgis, has he fulfilled his obligation? So here the Gemara says, Alibad Rabbi Yechon loy tebailach. According to Rabbi Yechon, there's no question. Because the Amar Bar Yahav, he says, as we're going to shortly prove, that palgis is like its own entity. It's neither one or the other. So yeah, you haven't fulfilled the obligation, even if you bring both and two. If you bring this palgis, as if it's like, okay, either one, it's going to be either an aisle or a kevis. We don't know. If it was, I don't know, then maybe it could be. No, according to Biechen, it's its own creature. You haven't filled it, not as an aisle, not as a kevis. How do we know this? There's not like, learn the Mishnah, Masechtas Parah, which is talking about this palgis, the animal in its 13th month. The Mishnah says, Hikriveyum, Hikrivu, if let's say someone brings such an animal as a carbon. So the halacha is maybe you love niske ayil. So there's certain, every carbon has certain nisachim, majority of carbon has certain libations that come with it. So he has to bring the libations of a ram. But ve'ein oyle mezivche. But however, he has not fulfilled his obligation as a carbon. If let's say he was obligated himself to bring just a ram, or he obligated himself to bring a lamb, if he brings his palgus, he's not fulfilled his obligation. Now, the Tana doesn't explain his reasoning. Is it because it's a suffix that we don't know? We don't know. If let's say you have to bring an aisle and you bring a palgus, maybe it's a kevis. When you say you can bring a kevis and you bring a palgus, maybe it's an aisle. Or is it actually because it's its own creature? So therefore, that's why you haven't fulfilled the obligation. Tana doesn't say. Now, V'am Rabbi Yechon, and he says, from where do we know that regarding this palgus that you have to bring, as the Mishnah says, the libations of a ram, which is two esrainim of flour and a third of a hin of wine? Because it says in Parashas Nesachim, when it talks about the halachas of libations in Parashas Shlach, it says, oy la'ayel, or for a ram. So that oy is l'rabbis as a palgus. That comes to include the palgus requires these libations. Now, says the Gemara, from the fact, the way Rabbi Yechon is explaining, in the opinion of the Tanna, that Mishnah, that you need a pasuk to include the palgus and the libations of a ram, obviously Rabbi Yechon holds that this Tanna, who's saying that you have not fulfilled your obligation as a carbon, is because it's its own berry, it's its own creature. That's why, regarding the libations, the Torah had to include it. Because if you would entertain to say that the reason why you haven't fulfilled your obligation is because we're in doubt, you wouldn't need a pasuk to include it in the libations of a ram. Because since it might be a ram, we just don't know, obviously you have to bring the libations of a ram and stipulate. And say that if it's a ram, so the libations are straight up what it's supposed to be for ram. And if it's a lamb, so okay, so you don't have to bring that much libations, but let the rest be in a dava. Because you could bring donated libations, nesachim, without a carbon, as the Gemara says in Menachos, and the last paragraph of Kofizayin Medav. Now, as Rashi points out, although Mishnah teaches that you can't just donate libations, let's say one leg or two or five, rather it has to be either three, so that it could be the same amount of libations of a lamb, or four, that it could be the same amount of libations of a ram, or six, which is the same amount as a bull. And that says Rashi, but that's what we would do over here. We would combine it with other amounts to be those numbers of three or four or six, that would be the amount that one could donate. But again, you would donate the rest. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says you have to learn from a pasuk is obvious because you wouldn't think it would be obligated, because not because of a suffix, it's because it's its own creature. That's why you haven't fulfilled the obligation, but that's why you need a pasuk to include it. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no question. Even if you're saying either or, ayil or keves, and either one would fulfill the obligation, and you bring a palgus, you haven't fulfilled the obligation because it's actually neither one. Not a doubt which one it is, it's neither one, therefore you haven't fulfilled. Says the Gemara, Ki Dibaylach, when would you have the question as a Liba de Parpada? According to Parpada, as we continue to Mabez, the Amad that he says in the explanation of that Mishnah says that actually, Maisi Umasni, you bring the libations and you stipulate. Why? Because he holds that it's a doubt, which we don't know if this palgus is a ram or is it a lamb. So that's what we're asking over here in Rabzeri's question. According to Parpada, what is the doubt? What are you stipulating? Because Rashi points out, although Rabbi Yochanan says you know from a pasuk, but Bar Pada actually expounds that oy la'ayil for a different drasha, as the Gemara says, Menachas of Tzadi Alchem Abase. So rather, he says the reason why you have to bring in the libation is not because of a pasuk, it's because, yeah, we're not sure. Is it a lamb or is it a ram? So on that, the Gemara is asking over here, so you stipulate. When you bring those libations, you say, okay, if it's a ram, so fine, this is the amount I have to bring. If it's a lamb, okay, let the extra be nedavas. You haven't fulfilled your obligation because you don't know if it is a lamb or a ram, but that's if you donated either an aisle or a kevis. But now the question is, regarding this case, it's unique case of Abzeru, where he's saying either or, and you bring a palgus. So the question is, do we say that it was obvious to Bar Pada, it was obvious to him, that it's not its own creature? Rather, like we're saying, it's a suffix. Is it an aisle? Is it a kevis? So therefore, when the person stipulates Ba'ayil v'keves masna, what he's stipulating is, in regards to it being either a ram or a lamb. And he says, if it's a ram, okay, so all these libations belong with it. If it's only a lamb, so it doesn't need that much. So you say, okay, one isarin of the flour and one revius of the yayin should be for it, and the rest should be extra, should be for nedava. But b'beri loy masna, but he doesn't stipulate it if it's its own creature. He doesn't have to stipulate and say, oh, if it's its own creature and actually it's not therefore viable for any nesachim, all of it should be for nedava. Because that's not something that he entertains at all. So therefore, according to Bapada, that would come out according to this option. And the question that we asked before, since it's most definitely not its own creature, so yeah, either way you look at it, he fulfilled his neder, because he said, I'm going to bring either a kebis or an isle, and whichever one you want to look at it, when he's bringing a palgis, it's one or the other. Idilmore, maybe, no, maybe Bapada was in doubt that maybe it actually is its own creature. Yes, he's in doubt maybe it's an isle or a ram. So that's why you don't need a pasuk to include in the libations in the explanation of that Mishnah, because either way, it might be an isle. Of course, you have to bring the isle's libations. But maybe he's also in doubt, maybe it is its own creature. So therefore, by libations, actually, beberya nami masna, not only does he stipulate, okay, if it's a ram, this is the amount I have to bring. If it's a lamb, I have to bring less, let the excess be nadava. But he makes a third stipulation, that actually, maybe it's its own creature. Dama that he says, Iber Yahava, and if it's its own creature, Labakul Nadava, let all those libations be a donation. So therefore that comes out, in the case that we're asking from Mzera, he actually has not fulfilled his obligation, because actually maybe it's not a ram, and not a lamb, and maybe it's his own creature. And therefore, even if he says either or, he has still not fulfilled his obligation, even according to Barpada. So the Gemara take a little stand, it's not clear what it is exactly that Barpada holds. Does he hold that maybe it's his own creature or not? And therefore, that's what it would hinge on to answer this question of Reb Zeir. Another type of this themed question of this middle stage is by Reb Zeir. Another question Reb Zeir asks. If someone says, I take it upon myself to bring the breads that come along with a carbon taida, where a carbon taida requires 40 breads, 30 of matzah, of unleavened, and 10 of chametz, which are leavened bread. And he says, mina chametz, oy mina matzah. And I'm going to choose to either let it be either chametz or matzah. So I'm going to bring 10 breads of whatever type I want to, because automatically there's going to be 10 of either matzah or 10 of chametz, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, how could you only bring 10 breads? There has to be 40. When could you ever just donate 10 breads, whether they be chametz or matzah? But that's what he said. And now, Vehebi Seir, he actually brings, again, a middle stage type of thing. Seir is something, as we're going to shortly describe, is not unleavened anymore, but it's not chametz anymore, it's not leavened bread either. What does that mean? So, Machlekes Remei Rabbi Yehuda in Perakei Lo Oivir Nimsachem Daf Memchesem Abeis. What is this Seir? Remei holds Seir is when the surface of the matzah has gotten white. Now, if it's getting white, that shows that it's starting to get leavened. Now, even if there's no cracks in it, because cracks already shows it's starting to become leavened, it's already considered Seir. Because actually, Remeir holds that if it already started cracking on the surface, like what's called karne chagovim, like the horns of a grasshopper, that's already called something even further along called siduk, that it's cracked, then if one eats such a matzah on Pesach, it actually would be chayv karis, because that's already considered bona fide chametz. Now, this seyer that Remeir holds is what's called hachsafes panim, that the surface of the bread, this matzah, is just white. So the Gemara over there explains that according to Remeir, in this middle stage of Seir, it's not Chayev Karis, like regular Chametz, but one would be Chayev Malkus, lashes, for eating it on Pesach. That's Reb Meir's interpretation of a Seir. Reb Yehuda has two leniencies in his understanding of Seir. First of all, he holds that if the surface is just white, that's not even called Seir, that's good like regular matzah. Rather, he holds that if it has cracks in it like the horns of a grasshopper, that's what's called Seir. That's one leniency. Another leniency is that what Rabbi Huda calls Seir, which is this Karne Chagavim, he doesn't hold that one would be liable even lashes for eating it on Pesach. So on that as the Gemara, this middle stage of Seir, if someone said, I'm going to bring either Chametz Matzah for these breads of the Tide, then either one would fulfill his obligation of his neder. And he brings this middle thing called Seir Ma, what's the halacha? So as we gave this introduction, the Gemara says, well, Seir Deman, whose Seir are you talking about? If you're referring to what Remeir calls Seir, which is when the surface of that matzah became white, and also you're asking it, Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, you're asking according to Yehuda, if he would fulfill his obligation for bringing either breads of chametz or matzah with this Seir, most definitely according to Yehuda, matzah mal yasi, it's bona fide matzah. And of course you're going to fulfill your obligation of bringing that type of matzah for the lach meitaydi, which has 10 breads of matzah, because as we said before, according to Yehuda, Remeir Seir, he holds, there's no problem, he doesn't even call that anything at all, he calls that regular matzah. You have no liability in that, you have no obligation in that for that on chametz's Pesach. So of course that's considered bona fide matzah, so that wouldn't be a question. And if you're talking about the Seir of Rebbe Yehuda, that's a further stage along, which is what's called karne chagavim, has cracks in it, and you're asking regarding that Seir according to Remeir, according to Remeir. Now, most definitely according to Remeir, one has fulfilled his obligation of the Lach Meitaida because of chametz. That's most definitely chametz, like we said. Reb Meir holds that's called siduk. That's correct. That's for sure chametz. And you even chayev karis. So of course you can fulfill the obligation in that version because of chametz. Again, Reb Meir say according to Reb Yehuda, you're fulfilling because it's matzah. And Reb Yehuda say according to Reb Meir, you're fulfilling because it's actually chametz. Now, continuing the question. V'id Reb Meir. And then if you told me Reb Meir say, which is just that the surface is white, and you're asking that Seir according to Reb Meir, according to Reb Meir himself, that's also not a question. Because Midalaki Lef, and the fact, as we said before, as the Gemara says within Pesachim, that whoever eats that matzah on Pesach is liable for 40 lashes, although not Karis, because it's just Seir, but Yechai for lashes, obviously it's because Reb Meir holds Chametz, that it's considered Chametz. Now, although as we mentioned just before, that if one eats that Seir on Pesach according to Reb Meir, he's not chayav karis. That's only because it's not chametz that's edible in a regular state. But it is still what's called chametz nuksha. It's like this compromised chametz, but it's still chametz from the fact that you're chayav malkus. So therefore, obviously, you would fulfill your neder because ultimately he's bringing a bread of chametz. So that wouldn't be a question either. Ella, it's the fourth option that's the question. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda's Seir, which is again Karna Chagov, that the surface already has cracks in it. And you're asking it according to Reb Yehuda, that he says what he calls Seir, which is Karna Chagov, you have to burn it. But, so therefore, if you see you have to burn it, obviously on some level we are considering it Chametz. But Reb Yehuda says, as we mentioned before, if someone eats from it, he's exempt. He's not even Chayiv Malkus. So obviously, that's not definitively, and it's not definitely Chametz. And therefore, if someone eats it, he's going to be pater, because at the most, it's Asura Safik. We're not sure if it's chametz, so we can't give you malchus, because we can't give a definitive hasra, warning, hey, this chametz, you can't eat this. So that's the question, my. This sayer of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone would bring these 10 breads for the lachmei taida from this sayer, would he fulfill his obligation or not? And that is, do we say sveika havya? Is it that, well, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda, if he says you have to burn it for Pesach, so why does he say if someone eats it, he's not Chayiv Malkus? Is it because it's doubtful? He doesn't know if that's Chametz or not? And therefore, B'nafik B'manavshach. But then, okay, fine, he doesn't know. But either way, it's either Matzah or Chametz. And therefore, since here when he says, I'm going to mean Lach Meitayde, either Chametz or Matzah, you have fulfilled your obligation either way? By Dilma Bar Yehuda, the same theme of the question. Or maybe no, maybe the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says you're exempt is because it's its own creation. You have to burn it, but it's not chametz, but it's not matzah, and therefore, you're not chai, you have to burn it, because it ultimately it's not matzah, but you don't get a liability because it's not chametz, it's its own thing, and therefore, v'lei nafik, in the case that we just described, maybe you can't fulfill your obligation, because it's actually neither one or the other, it's not chametz, it's not matzah, and if it doesn't fulfill your neder of bringing either chametz or matzah. That's the question. Now, on one of the options of the question, the Gemara asks, Rav Huna says, if someone says, I take it upon myself to bring the breads of the carbon taida, says Rav Huna, you can't just bring the breads of the carbon taida, maybe taida v'lachma. You have to bring the taida, the animal itself, with its breads, because everyone knows you can't bring the breads without the carbon itself. Now, continuing on this idea, the Gemara takes it one step further. So since someone who's taking upon himself to bring the breads, which we said, not only does he have to bring the breads, he has to bring the animal with the breads. But obviously, if you're bringing the breads, you have to bring all of the 40 breads. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, even if you're going to say it's not its own creation, and that, okay, maybe Rabbi Huda holds that it's a doubt, is it chametz or it's matzah? So you wanted to say, according to that option, either way, fine, you fulfilled your obligation, because he's allowed to choose which one, and either one that should fulfill your obligation. And that is the Gemara, how could you even say, according to that option, that it's fulfilled his obligation? Halayada hai gavra, but this person doesn't know, I chametzu, the lacy matzah. He doesn't know, are these 10 breads of Seir chametz, so that now the rest of the 30 breads I should bring are matzah? I matzah with the lacy chametz. Or were they matzah, then now I have to go ahead and supplement with the chametz ones. Meaning, as the Gemara is asking, either way, this person is going to have to now bring 40 valid breads of lach meitaida, and only with that will he fulfill his neder. Because the 10 that he brought, he's going to have to add on 40 more. So, of course he's fulfilling his neder. But either way, he's going to have to bring another 40. So what's the difference? What's he accomplishing with this 10 that he's saying he's going to bring? It's not going to really help him anyway, because we don't know what it is to know what the other 30 have to be. So Zigmar Leitricha, no, It's necessary, our question in the case, the Amar Hareo Laichala says, I'm taking upon myself to bring 10 breads, lifter Toidasa Shomplaini, to exempt from the Toida obligations of that other person. So he didn't take upon himself an obligation of bringing 40. You're right, if he usually just says, I'm going to bring Lach Me Toida, he has to bring the Toida and all the 40 breads. Here he didn't say that. He says, I'm bringing 10 out of the 40 of someone else. So he didn't obligate himself in 40. That's our question. But the Gemara says, well, Saif Saif. Ultimately, at the end, since you said that he said he's bringing the 10 to exempt 10 out of the 40 of his friend who has that obligation, he has not fulfilled his obligation until he has exempted his friend from 10 out of the 40 breads. The problem is, this person has not exempted his friend from any of the 10 breads that he's bringing as Seir, because that person ultimately, at the end of the day, doesn't know what it is that he brought to add on and supplement the remaining 30. That person doesn't know these 10 that his friend brought him. Are they chametz? Delesi matzah, that he should now bring the rest matzah? Imatzu, are these 10 matzah? Delesi chametz, has to bring chametz? He doesn't know, so has not exempted. So what's that option of saying that he has fulfilled his obligation? Says, lo tzricha, no, it's necessary. Deloy ama lifter. Right, he didn't say the word to exempt. All he said was, I'm taking upon myself to bring 10 breads for that person's taida. Now, since he said he's bringing for that person's taida, he has not obligated himself in the taida with its breads, only in 10 breads. Now, most definitely, you're right. That person has not been exempted with anything with that person's sayer, because he doesn't know what it is to supplement. But this person himself didn't take upon himself to exempt his friend from anything. He just made a stipulation that he's going to bring, because he thought that he could bring it with his friend's remaining ones. Now, although he cannot, but that's the question that, as the Gemara explains, did he fulfill his nether? He says he's going to bring 10 breads. It's not helping his friend, but he thought he could bring it with it. Now he cannot. What ultimately he would have to do is he would have to redeem it. That monies would then fall for the Karbanis Nadava in the Beis HaMikdash and be used for, let's say, a different carbon taida. But it would go towards 10 breads of someone's taida. We just wouldn't know which one it is, but it would fulfill. You're right, it wouldn't help his friend, but at least he fulfilled his nether. Or has he not fulfilled his obligation at all because he didn't bring either chametz or matzah because maybe it's a bear of an atzma? That was the question that says the Gemara, take or let it stand. That question of Reb Zeira is not resolved. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about the contrast with things that are similar in a way but are different totally in the element that we're talking about. As the Mishnah describes, Kasha Bepara, and we're talking about the topic of our Masechta, our Perek, regarding the difference in regards to the way that they're slaughtered, like we said regarding Melika of a bird and Shechita in an animal carbon. So here we say what's Kasha Bepara, what's valid by the Paraduma, the red heifer, is Pasal Ba'agala, is invalid by the Egla Arufa, the decapitated calf. The Paraduma is what's used in its ashes in the purification process of someone who became tummy from coming in contact with a corpse, where we sprayed that water with those ashes on them on day 3 and day 7 of this purification process. Tegla Rufa is what's used when they find a dead person on the road. They don't know who killed them. So the city that's closest to that person, they have to bring this calf and decapitate it in the valley. So what's valid by the Paraduma is possible by Egla is invalid by that calf. And what's Kasher by Egla, possible by Par, what's valid by the Egla Rufa is actually invalid by the Paraduma, as the Gemara expounds. Para The paraduma is valid only if it's slaughtered. Barif absula, if it's just decapitated, it's invalid. In contrast, egla barifik shera, the calf is only valid if it's decapitated. Beshchita psula, it's invalid if it's slaughtered. Nimtzis comes out, says the brisa kasha bepara apostle egla. What's valid by the par which is shchita is invalid by the egla which is invalid if it's shchita. Kasha beegla apostle bepara. What's valid by the egla which is decapitation is invalid. What by the para, if you just chop off the head, it's invalid by the paraduma. Now that is the Gemara for tehi parak sheira by rifim akabal chaimer. Why? We should say that the paraduma should be valid by just decapitating it from a kabal chaimer from the egla rufa, because a ma egla shlehuch shur b'shchita. If the calf is not valid, if it's slaughtered, as the Gemara teaches on the next daf, hochshur barifa still is valid by being decapitated. So parsha hochshur b'shchita, so the paraduma that's valid by slaughtering, in addition hochshur barifa isn't a kavuchim, it should be valid by being decapitated. So the Gemara continues the tabach of dalam and off and says no, because Amakra the pasuk says by the paraduma says v'shachat oislafan of that it should be slaughtered in front of him, and it says v'chuka, which says zeis chuka satayra. Chuka is always a terminology of li'ikuba, that it's integral, which teaches us, b'shchita in, yes, it's valid only if it's slaughtered, barif aloi, but not if it's decapitated. That is the Gemara, that's the answer. What? Wherever it says the terminology of chukah, which means this is the way it has to be. But however, you would have a way of including something else through a kal v'chomer. So are you telling me that then lo yidrashin kal v'chomer, that we don't expound that kal v'chomer to include and say that, okay, this that it says that chukah is ma'akav, that it's for other things? Because here, seemingly we're asking, okay, so it says chukah, that it has to be shechita. But we have a kal v'chomer that should include even arifa. You're saying that no, because it says chukah, you can't include something with a kal v'chomer? And that is the Gemara, but by Gabi Yom Kippurim, we have by the two se'irim that are brought in Yom Kippurim, which one is a Sar Lashem, it's slaughtered and its blood is thrown in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The other Higo, which is exactly the same, is actually thrown off the cliff, what's called Lazazel. It says over there that there's a lottery that's done. And it says that Aaron places the lotteries on these two different animals, where Dechsiv Bechuka, there it mentions at the end of the parasha the word Chuka, which that it tells us is that if there wasn't an explicit exclusion, that we actually, meaning, as we're going to shortly quote, that you cannot sanctify the two Zerim without the lottery, even though it says chukah, we would have included through a kal v'chomer that it can be sanctified even through a different way, that of just designating the names orally without a lottery. Where do we see this? Because Matan, you learned in the Braisa, that it says in the Pasuk, Hagaru Lashem, the lottery is for Hashem. Then, Vaso Chatzis, the one that comes out Lashem, is the one that you make into the Karban Chatzis, that's the one that's slaughtered and the blood is thrown in the Beis HaMikdash. Which sounds like Hagayrul Oisachatas, only the lottery, if the lottery falls in that animal, that's the one that makes it into Karmachatas. What that comes to, that's a specific exclusionary term, which is telling us that the Ain, but if you just have the recital of Hashem, of just saying the name, that is not Oisachatas, that does not make it a Karmachatas. Meaning, if let's say he says, okay, without a lottery, he says this one should be for Hashem, this one should be Vazazel, it does not become established like that. Rather, it's the lottery, if when you subsequently do the lottery and it's, that switches from the way you had originally orally designated, you go after the lottery. Because, as the Braita says, Sheyachal, because you would think, V'aloi Dinhu, that actually kal v'chomer should tell us that if it didn't say, Hagaril Vaso, that it's the lottery that makes it into Karmachatas, rather, if we only had the first pasuk that said that the way you do it is that Aaron goes, takes a lottery and puts on the two animals, I actually would have said, V'aloi Dinhu, I would have said, there's actually kal v'chomer, that since actually the pasuk says the lottery works, that for sure, by just what's doing Kriyas Hashem, by just designating the name, for sure that it should establish it in its respective categories. What's the kal v'chomer? Because umah b'makom shli kiddush hagoril, if regarding all other karbanos, when you have two karbanos brought together, where a lottery does not sanctify it. For example, when you bring what's called kinei zavim v'yeladus, certain times, like a woman who gave birth, or a zava, they have to bring a pair of birds. One is a chatas, one is an oilam. Now if let's say the woman goes and, or the kohen goes and makes a lottery. On one stone he writes chatas, another one he writes oila, and then he places a lottery and picks one out. We don't find that the lottery should make it into which carbon it's supposed to be. And if they subsequently want to change it, they could change it. And still, Kiddush Hashem, in those cases, like by the Yeledis, the woman who gives birth, that it's the oral designation that sanctifies it. Where if, let's say, subsequently he says, okay, this one will be the Chatas and this bird will be the Ayla, if they after that want to change it, that's invalid. Like the Pasuk says in Devarim Chav Gimel, Maitzis Vesecha Tishma, the words that come out of your lips, you have to safeguard. Which obviously we see that the Kriyas Shem is what establishes it, and if you subsequently change, comes out that the Chatas is going to be on the top and the Ayla on the bottom, which is problematic. So if in a place where the Hagral of the lottery does not establish it, the Kriya Shem does, so says the Braises, Mokim Shekidish Hagral, so where the lottery does sanctify it, like by Yom Kippurim with the two Seirim, by the two He-Goats, in the Din Shekidish Hashem, isn't it a Kavochemah that the name, the Kriya Shem should sanctify? Says the Braises, Tamalayim Avasal Chatas, that's why you need that special Pasuk to say that, no, only Hagar Loisa Chatas, only lottery makes in the Karma Chatas, Vein Hashem Loisa Chatas, but the Kriya Shem, just designated orally, does not make it in the Karma Chatas. So that is the Gemara. What do you see from this Braises is, at time of the Kasher Rachmanis, because there's an extra Pasuk in the Torah that says that Hagar, the lottery, is Vasal Chatas, what makes in the Chatas, which is a specific exclusionary term that the Pasuk is coming to say that Kriya Shem will not sanctify. Halav hachi darshin the kal v'chomer, but if not for that, we would expound the kal v'chomer, although it says in the pasuk chukah, which says it has to be a lottery. Still, you see from the braisa that we would say a kal v'chomer that for sure kriya shem would work if we didn't have this other pasuk which explicitly says hagaril v'asol chatas, and we would say that chukah would be okay, that's ma'akah for other things. So that's back to the question. What are you saying that it's not kosher the paraduma with arifa because it says v'shachat v'chukah? Who cares? it's ma'akiv, say that's ma'akiv for something else. You have a kavah chaimer that says that arifa should work. And that we see from the shalacha by the shtei seim yom kippurim, that even though it says chukah, a kavah chaimer would include it, something else. Says the Gemara, you're right. But just like actually the Brisa said regarding yom kippurim, mi et rachman negabe egla. There's a specific exclusionary term by the egla arufa, which it says in Devarim, ha arufa, the decapitated one, which tells us, zeis barifa, only the egla, arufa is the one that's decapitated, ve'ina cheres barifa, but there is no other one that's decapitated. That's a specific exclusion that the paraduma, although we would seemingly have a kal v'chaimer, is not decapitated, it's only with shechita. Now the Gemara asked the question the other way. Ve'te egla kasher b'shechita m'kal v'chaimer. Okay, let's say the decapitated calf, that egla, when you find a dead person, should be valid if it's slaughtered from a kal v'chaimer. Just like we established, the paraduma is not valid if it's decapitated. Kasher b'shchit, yet it's valid if it's slaughtered. So eglash kasher b'rifa, so the calf that's valid when it's decapitated. Ain't a din shochsh b'shchita? Isn't a kavuchem that should be valid when it's slaughtered? So says the Gemara here also. Amakra, the pasuk says a little bit before that says va'orfu ha'egla, that the calf is decapitated, where the pasuk repeats it another time to be ma'akiv, to tell you again, barifa in b'shechita lai, that here it's only valid with decapitation and not with slaughtering. So that's how we know from these mi'utim, A, that it's only by the egla arufa and not by para, and additionally that the arufa, the egla itself, is only with arifa, is only with decapitation and not with shechita, and therefore that's why the Gemara says, we don't have a kavah chaimer either way, the paraduma rather, as like we said, is only valid with shechita, and the egla arufa is only valid with arifas with decapitation.